Welcome into Ag Outlook 2022 here with the Mid-America Ag Network. I'm Andy Hoosier. As we look at the grain and livestock markets in the state of Kansas, across the nation, and around the globe from the year of 2021, what could you expect going into 2022 in the agricultural industry? We got a lot to talk about between the politics of it, supply chain issues, weather issues, slaughter reports, and more. What could we expect with some of the high input prices as well in the grain market? We'll get to all that and more and talk to numerous different individuals over the next hour. First half hour, we'll be looking at some of the grain markets across Kansas and the U.S. The second half hour, we'll touch on some livestock issues as well. Ag Outlook 2022 here with the Mid-America Ag Network, brought to you by the El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado, with a sale every Thursday at 11 a.m. You can see sales on stock cows, bulls, calves, feeder cattle, along with butcher cows and bulls. Give them a call at 316-320-3212 or find them online at eldoradolivestock.com. Again, with their sale every Thursday at 11 a.m., it's the El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado. Also by the Kansas Livestock Association, protecting their interests of near 5,700 members on legislative and regulatory issues in the state of Kansas and on the federal level. The KLA represents state's multi-billion dollar cattle industry at the state and federal level, along with also being involved with feedlots, swine industry, dairy, and sheep industries. You can find them online at kla.org. It's the Kansas Livestock Association. Well, let's start off with your grain market here in the state of Kansas, wrapping up 2021. As the Secretary for the Kansas Department of Agriculture here in the state, Mike Beam, says all the numbers aren't quite in yet for the fourth quarter of 2021, but overall was pretty impressed with how agriculture fared in the state.
The ag exports are setting another record for 2021. We haven't got the last 3 months, but all the data and projections are that we'll exceed 2021 and even 2020. So that's encouraging, and is that's from Kansas. That's not all ag exports. So, you know, Kansas is a big ag state, but we're a big, big exporter as well.
At the same time, he did say one of the biggest issues that was an issue in really every one of the industries in agriculture and even outside of agriculture was the supply chain issues during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, I think we just got to keep reminding, the administration and our transportation, international transportation sectors, that, it's desperate. We need to resolve this. And I hear more and more interest in why we need to start thinking about how we can, if we can make this, these supplies in the United States, so we don't have to rely on these kind of supply chain holdups. So, and I know some economists have suggested that by the end of 2022, things should start freeing up a bit. But that's probably making a lot of assumptions that, have to fall in place. So I think the best thing is just to keep the pressure and keep the awareness on, and try to have, some patience and faith that we can work through this. But you're absolutely right. The prices of inputs are gaining at a pace much higher than the commodity prices that we've seen and have hope for.
He does say that he is continuously working with the state legislature here in the state of Kansas for the 2022 session to remind them of how important the agricultural industry is going into the new year. But economically, it has taken a toll in the agriculture industry, and especially the grain markets for many grain producers across the state and the region, as we continue to see inflation rates hit near 7% year over year for the month of January here, and it's not expected to go down in any way, shape, or form. That is causing high input prices when it comes to fertilizer and other things that many producers need to purchase going into the new year. Brett Kratz over at Schwedemann Incorporated out of Garden City, Kansas, we sat down with him to talk about how last year wrapped up and what the main issues may be for the grain market going into 2022. Brett, the grain markets, we saw at some point throughout the year, we saw wheat hit over $8 for an average price there. Soybeans are up over $13 right now, as they've kind of fluctuated back and forth. A bit of some impressive numbers there, but is it kind of taking things outside of the realm of what the norm is for the grain markets right now?
Well, over the last several years, we've had quite a bit of volatility in the grain market, so the swings are not unusual. But the big thing that has happened over the last, say, year to 18 months, and what we need to look at for the next year to 18 months, are the demand levels. We've seen excellent export sales of corn, wheat, and soybeans. The Chinese have been very large buyers of corn. They're usually our number one customer for soybeans, so that's not unusual. But when we see the constant bid under the market, the constant demand, there's just not a lot of incentive for lower prices. A couple things to look at going forward. It's going to be South American weather again. Last year, the South American weather played a big part in shifting some corn demand towards the U.S. This year, they're having some trouble with soybean production and may have some more trouble with corn production. If that's the case and we get more than normal business, well, we're going to end up seeing our ending stocks be tighter than what USDA has been projecting. Currently, the USDA has been projecting lower demand for U.S. corn and soybeans, but it's shaping up to be maybe it's going to be more like steady. And if that's the case, our ending stocks estimates are currently way too high.
Interesting. Now, you did mention, let's talk about South America for just a second with Brazil and Argentina because of the drought conditions and the weird weather that they have been having, is that not only has the quality of crop gone down just a little bit from what we've seen over the last few weeks, but at the same time, from what I've heard, is that normally they're done by this time and kind of have a lot of their exports done by the fourth quarter. With some of the delays they've had, they've pushed a lot of their exports into quarter number one for the new year, which is abnormal-ish that they're looking at some of the new markets of China and Vietnam and Korea and some of those areas where it's usually pretty strong for us. Is that going to give us more of a competitive edge, or is that going to kind of tighten our margins a bit going into the first quarter of this year?
Well, traditionally, you'd say that like December, January, and February are not that great for our soybean export sales, and that's because of competition from South America. And that's still the case to an extent, but where the production estimates keep shrinking for South America, the commercial traders down there are much less likely to forward sell soybeans that they aren't sure they're going to have. So this probably isn't going to be as slow as of a time of a year for soybean sales as it often is, and that's a big boost. I mean, if we don't have a major drop off for a 3 or 4 month stretch through the winter, it'll be very beneficial to our markets.
Sure, that'd be good. Looking at China, you had mentioned them as well with some of the big buyers, especially for our grains with corn and soybeans. We did finish up the first phase of our trade deal with the U.S. and with China going into phase number two. They came in and did a lot, although they came in a little bit short from what the projections were for the original trade deal. Do you think they're going to hold up their end going into phase two, and will we see an increase of sales coming from them?
You know, just logistically, I would say it was almost impossible for them to meet their phase one obligations. It just wasn't going to be possible, at least at the current price levels. Now, with higher prices, it's much easier to meet the dollar figures that we've been talking about. But if you rewind a year to year and a half, it just wasn't going to be possible to move that much grain. It just wasn't going to be. We don't need them to meet their grain purchase obligations to have a big impact on the markets. Just the fact that they're in the U.S. corn market is a big deal. As I said earlier, they're usually our number one soybean buyer, but we see long stretches of time where they're pretty much absent from the U.S. corn market. So just the fact that they're in the market is very supportive.
That's good news. Last question before we let you go here, but let's talk about Russia and the Ukraine. This may be a temporary issue going into the new year here, as the tension between them, and we're unsure of what's going to happen with any kind of conflict or continued tension. But has that caused a disruption in the market so far with the Ukraine and with Russia, with our trade when it comes to grain? And will that continue on throughout some parts over the next few months?
There hasn't been too much disruption yet, but the Russians do keep increasing their export taxes to make it harder for them to export grain because they have some tight supplies. Now, Russia and Ukraine are both very large competitors of ours in the wheat market, the global wheat market. So let's say there is some disruption for a little bit. It could be a very big benefit for us if you have Russia out of the market because of tight supplies and Ukraine out of the market because of political chaos. It could have a huge impact. At least for a while. Now, as you said, who knows what actually happens there? Will Russia invade? We don't know. I mean, they did send paratroopers to Kazakhstan today, and that can be a big impact as well, because Kazakhstan exports a large amount of wheat as well. So we've got the potential to see political unrest be a big driver at some point.
Things are up in the air when it comes to that area of the world. It's Brett Crotch, Wiedemann Incorporated. Find them online, upthelimit.com, and check them out at 1-800-272-9131. All right, we'll take a break here on Ag Outlook 2022. When we come back, we'll talk with Jesse McCurry with the Kansas Sorghum Commission, get the latest from them, as they say they had some record numbers, record exports, so that's good news for them. Is that trend going to continue for 2022? We'll ask them about that. Plus, we'll take a look at some of the weather outlooks and some of the input pricing, what you could expect as a grain producer here in the state of Kansas. This is Ag Outlook 2022 right here with the Mid-America Ag Network. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54. Proudly serving farmers and ranchers with weekly cattle sales each Thursday at 11 a.m. The order of sale is stock cows and bulls, followed by calves, feeder cattle, then butcher cows and bulls. The goal at El Dorado Livestock Auction is to use an honest, full-value approach that attracts the best buyers and creates a competitive market for our sellers. El Dorado Livestock Auction strives to develop a friendly, personal relationship with each customer and understand their individual business needs. You can see a full list of consignments online at eldoradolivestock.com or pick up the phone and call 316-320-3212 with any questions. El Dorado Livestock Auction, a sale every Thursday at 11 a.m. El Dorado Livestock Auction, 2.5 miles east of El Dorado on Highway 54. The Kansas Livestock Association serves as a voice for 5,700 members on legislative and regulatory issues and stands as a resource for information pertaining to their businesses. KLA places a high value on the traditions of the past, yet seeks to be progressive enough to embrace the future. With a story that began over a century ago, KLA's mission to advance members' common business interests and enhance their ability to meet consumer demand endures. Whatever the future holds for Kansas livestock producers, they can count on one thing. KLA will be their riding point. For more information, go to KLA.org.
Welcome back into Ag Outlook 2022 here with the Mid-America Ag Network. Let's jump in with our conversation with Jesse McCurry. He's with the Kansas Sorghum Associations. They say they had some record numbers of wrapping up with their harvest for 2021 and what we could see going into 2022. Jesse, recapping 2021, you guys wrapped up harvest for the year. You guys working on getting ready for a new planting season in the spring. How'd things look and how'd you guys wrap up for the last year?
Well, it was a remarkable year, and we just were at the state legislature giving the ag committees an update on the overall year. It was a record crop, the most valuable crop in history, obviously driven by China demand. Whenever you see sorghum prices over corn prices, it makes you scratch your head. And we also had some amazing bushels, some amazing production. We had a farmer almost hit 250 bushels an acre just to show the genetic potential in the crop. You know, if folks treat sorghum like a real crop, it can yield and it can sure deliver value, and we saw that in spades here in the last year.
That's amazing. What drove some of those records? Was it the weather and a little bit drier conditions? Was it just, you know, things aligned properly? I mean, what led to that?
Management is a big part of it, certainly catching timely rains, and also just the genetic improvements that have happened in the crop. A lot of times farmers are still in a perception that Milo is their grandfather's crop, and there have been genetic improvements around yield and cold tolerance and some technology around weed and grass control that, you know, if you treat it right and really have some luck, you know, with the weather, you can hit a good leg.
That's amazing. I love it. Now, talk about some of the input costs. I know that's been an issue with a lot of individuals. Of course, fertilizer's been a big problem. Of course, the inflation that's continuously climbing that may be an issue going into this new year. But how much did that deter from some of the record numbers you guys saw?
Well, it was a major problem, and we continue to remind policymakers at all levels, especially as we're in the pregame of a new farm bill, that yes, commodity prices are very impressive. Yes, exports are very impressive. Yes, farmers made some money for once in the last year. But these input costs are dangerous, and it is very challenging. And then you couple that with container problems and getting shipments in a timely way, and you have to start looking at some alternatives, perhaps that are less proven. But hopefully this inflation environment and the input costs get under control soon, because it's really going to eat up profit.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do an outlook here for the new year. Obviously, that's still an issue right now, and prices continue to climb. We have near 7% inflation right now just for January year over year. And inflation doesn't look like it's even going to go down until maybe next year of 2023. Going into a planting season later on this year, is that the biggest obstacle you guys have to look for?
Well, yeah, you know, the market and the weather is always going to be important. Obviously, we're still in a drought environment. It's been encouraging to see some of these record-type snow events out west, and of course, that's key sorghum country, so we'll take it. But there's still a long ways to go in terms of how things might set up, how farmers might be putting a pencil to decisions around soybeans and corn, and I just want them to think about sorghum as a potential in the mix, because I, you know, can't outguess China, but also feel like there's enough export demand that sorghum can be a potential viable to hold on to the acreage. You know, we've had a couple of years of some increasing acres, but I think potentially we can hold our own.
Sure, that'd be really good. Now, you mentioned China. I know that they're a big purchasing partner with sorghum. With the end of phase one of the trade deal with China, we're working on phase number two, but they did come up short as well. Do you expect them to purchase even more sorghum going into the next year than what they did even in 2021?
I don't know if it will be more. I think that it will be solid. I think that, again, you can't outguess the Chinese. On the other hand, that's a huge population with more disposable income and a desire to eat more protein, as well as this liquor market, this Baijiu market that Kansas sorghum can go into. And beyond China, obviously, there's traditional buyers that value, like Mexico and Japan and African nations. But we think the outlook for China is still positive.
Sure. I love it. Any influence you think it's going to have with the tension between Russia and the Ukraine right now? Will that have any impact on sorghum as well?
That's a good question, and I think probably has some impact around wheat and rotation. I'm not sure is the right answer. Obviously, the uncertainty in the world is problematic from a day-to-day sort of market standpoint. Yeah. One of the things I'll pitch to your listeners is we've got a commodity conference in Salina on Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. where we're going to talk about markets and politics and weather. You can register for that still at KansasCommodityClassic.com. That's Kansas spelled out, CommodityClassic.com. And come to a farm meeting if you have a chance and get an update.
That would be amazing. I love it. Last couple of questions before we let you go. It's Jesse McCurry, the executive director for the Kansas Grain Sorghum Producers Association. Let's talk about supply chain issues. Everybody's had issues with supply. I know with, as you mentioned, with a lot of sorghum going out of the country with our exports. Has that been an issue with a lot of farmers getting things out of the field, getting them to the co-ops, and then actually getting the co-ops out to be able to export this stuff? Or has that not quite affected sorghum yet?
I think from what I've heard, we've been pretty good. I think our input industry and our key suppliers for farmers, there's been conversations that have been had that have allowed some planning around that. I'm sure that there's some spot issues on certain products, but continue to communicate as quickly as possible with your input suppliers. And also let us know. It'd be interesting to hear some horror stories.
Sure.
If you're running into certain supply chain issues.
Yeah, I love it. Last question, just kind of a recap here, but it sounds like this next year could be pretty optimistic for a lot of farmers.
I still think this is an exciting industry, and as we kind of hopefully get out of the COVID situation, and there's nobody can grow products like Kansas farmers, and whether it's sorghum or any other crop, we're pretty optimistic because you have to be in agriculture.
Now, the big question on every grain producer's mind in the state of Kansas is, of course, when it comes to the weather going into 2022. Obviously, last year was a strange year, and we're still going through some of that with a relatively dry season, and the cool weather's finally starting to hit the Plains State. Ryan Martin, agriculture meteorologist, talks about some of the weather and patterns and what the predictions could be for the upcoming year. And he says right now it's getting more and more difficult to figure out what the typical pattern may look like.
It's been an above normal year for temperatures, winter so far for temperatures across most of the key growing areas of the country. Nobody has seen a prolonged cold snap that rivals anything that we should, or even colder than we should see this time of year. So Eastern Corn Belt, Central Plains, Northern Plains honestly are seeing warmer than normal temperatures for the bulk of this late fall and early winter season.
He says while the warmer than normal temperatures across parts of the country may have been enjoyed in the late fall and early winter, it won't stick around, as he says the winter is still trending above normal.
Well, no, that's not going to stick around all winter long, but we're definitely building a case for a milder winter overall. You know, the longer you go into the winter season, keeping temperatures above, the colder you have to go and swing it the other way in the remaining time frames to even out and even get to normal. So I'm not saying that we're going to see the well above normal temperatures stick around longer term, but I am saying that we're building a case toward a milder winter in general, just by definition of how we average things out.
Looking ahead into the spring, Martin says that some of the challenges that many farmers and ranchers saw during harvest may continue into the upcoming planting season.
When we get to planting, my concern right now is that we see a planting season over a large part of the Corn Belt, like the way harvest wrapped up or strung out, I guess we should say, over the eastern half of the Corn Belt this past fall. You moved from eastern Illinois across Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. Those guys just had all sorts of problems being able to get in and get things done. There are Michigan acres that are still out as we speak right now, waiting to be harvested. So I have a concern that we see planting get strung out the same way, and that's for two reasons. I think we're looking at slightly cooler than normal temperatures in that late April, early May time frame. So that's not going to help our soil temperatures very much. And I'm also concerned about moisture. Overall, I think we're normal to maybe slightly below normal from June forward on precipitation, but I think we can be slightly above April and May. And I will tell you that the big thing this year is going to be wild swings and definitely some highly localized precipitation events. So I'm projecting some planting issues as we get started this spring coming up.
Finally, he says that 2021 brought some significant drought to many parts of the country and some of the farming communities. And Martin says some of the soil is completely recharged while other areas are relatively short.
Soil profiles are fully recharged in the eastern half of the Corn Belt. As a matter of fact, there are some guys, if you talk to them out that way, that'll say we're way too doggone wet. However, you get back into the central part of the country, the Plains is working on some significant drought right now. We don't see that breaking anytime in the near future. So wheat-wise, I think the wheat crop is got the cards stacked against it right now. And I think you get up even into the western Corn Belt. We have recharged our soil conditions some, but we're not sitting on the surplus of moisture that maybe we see farther east.
He says not only could these drought conditions and even the extreme wet conditions affect the grain market, but also be affecting the livestock that may have to be staying on some of the grain feed a little bit longer than normal. That again was Ryan Martin, an agricultural meteorologist out of Warsaw, Indiana. Well, that does it for our portion of the Grains of Ag Outlook of 2022. Lots more always to be had with conversation-wise, but you can always hear some more updates from us here with the Mid-America Ag Network with our ag news that we give to many of our radio stations every single day. We'll keep you apprised as the year goes along. When we come back after our bottom of the hour break, we'll shift gears a little bit, go into livestock, cattle, lean hogs, swine, and more. The supply chain issues, the slaughter reports, the export numbers, the high cost of input. What's it going to look like this year for you livestock producers? Ag Outlook 2022 right here with the Mid-America Ag Network, brought to you by the El Dorado Livestock Auction and the Kansas Livestock Association, back right after this.